Word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 18, verses 12 to 17. Please turn to page 219 of the New Testament. I will now read the Word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he had them ejected from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever. Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent. During this time, we reflect on the pain our Lord has suffered on the cross to save us. After Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, the chief priests arrested Jesus and brought him to Governor Pontius Pilate to put him to death. Pilate was sure Jesus was innocent, but afraid that people might start a riot, goaded on by the chief priests and the elders, he sentenced Jesus to crucifixion. The soldiers of the governor dragged Jesus into the praetorium. Then they whipped him mercilessly, mocked him, and spat on him. Then they made him bear a cross and took him up to Golgotha, where Jesus was to be crucified. In all pictures depicting Jesus' suffering, his lower body is covered in cloth. However, 2,000 years ago, when prisoners were crucified, they were completely naked. Jesus, who was crucified stark naked, was mocked incessantly by the people. The chief priests who persuaded the people to the point that Pontius Pilate could not but sentence Jesus to death also mocked Jesus on the cross. Two robbers were crucified alongside Jesus on his left and right. Jesus was nailed on the cross between the two robbers like a heinous criminal. Right after Jesus was crucified, the two robbers on the cross also cursed at him. Just like this, what Jesus suffered on the cross on Golgotha was shame. Jesus, God the Son, probably suffered more from the emotional shame that he was subjected to, completely naked in front of humans, than the physical pain of actually being nailed to the cross. In the ninth class for the called, we thought deeply about the humiliation that Jesus suffered on the cross. In his book, Truth and Transformation, Vishal Mangalwadi, an outstanding Christian philosopher from India, wrote that the foundation of what moved society was human conscience in the West, but honor in the East. And the worst way To lose one's honor was through shame. In India, sati was legally banned in 1829. However, even today, in the 21st century, people in certain regions of India still practice it. Sati is an unhumanitarian custom of immolating the widowed woman along with her husband's corpse. When the widowed woman runs away to save herself from being burned to death along with her husband's corpse, it's her children who bring her back and immolate her. Since their mother ignored the sacred custom and ran away, humiliating their family, her children just punished her without reserve. The honor killing practiced in the Middle East is also an act of murder committed by family members to their own family members who is considered to have humiliated them. Back in the days when we didn't have enough to eat, Koreans only drank water and then picked their teeth. And even now, there are too many empty formalities for the four ceremonial occasions of coming of age, wedding, funeral, and ancestral rites in Korea. And people tend to buy expensive cars and rent huge apartments that they cannot afford with their income. All this is because we are part of the Eastern culture as well, who put our honor forth and believe that it is humiliating to lose face. In the Old Testament, the word shame or humiliation appears countless times. The Jewish people were also part of the Eastern culture, so they also hated being humiliated. In particular, it would have been very difficult for the Jews who were immersed in elitism and considered Gentiles as animals to be naked in any open space for whatever reason. When the Ammonite king Nahash died and his son Hanun succeeded him as king, King David sent messengers with condolences about King Nahash's death. But Hanun's servants told Hanun that David's servants were actually spies who came to search the city and overthrow it. According to 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 4, Hanun, who had just became the king, shaved David's servants, cut off half their garments from their buttocks down, and sent them back to Israel. This was to humiliate the Israelites. When this was reported to David, he became furious. So with his army, David completely devastated Ammon. He believed the humiliation his messengers suffered was his own, and therefore his nation's as well. If being shaven and revealing one's buttocks were enough shame for the Jews to start a war, imagine how shameful it must have been for God the Son to be nailed to the cross, stark naked. Yet Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and sat down at the right side of God's throne. Jesus ignored the shame of suffering on the cross, of being nailed to the cross butt naked. This means that he did not believe that such physical shame that people considered shameful were not shameful. If Jesus believed that his suffering on the cross was a shame that he had to avoid, then he would have avoided it using all means possible, because he had the ability to. Jesus did not suffer for his own reputation or honor. If the cause of his suffering on the cross were such selfish reasons, his ordeal would have been undeniably and obviously shameful. But the reason Jesus suffered on the cross was to pay for our sins and finish his calling of saving the humanity from sin. Therefore, being sentenced to death by Pontius Pilate, whipped and mocked by Roman soldiers, nailed to the cross stark naked, and mocked and laughed at by the chief priests and the robbers, were not shameful to Jesus. All those were an inevitable part of the process for completing what he had been called to do. In this way, Jesus did not consider what humans thought shameful as shameful. And in this way, he correctly distinguished between what we should consider shameful from what we should not consider shameful. The shame you experience in your path to follow the truth by people who deny the truth is not shame. The shame you experience to save life by people who destroy life is not shame. The shame of being stripped naked in the process to obey God's calling is not shame. Although the world might say that they are shameful, God will definitely reward us with badges of glory. Crucifying Jesus Christ, like the chief priests and the elders who say that they believe in Jesus, would only live to fulfill their pockets. That is shameful. Abandoning faith to make money is shameful. Disregarding other people to make profit for yourself is shameful. Mocking and persuading people to achieve their own ambitions are also shameful acts. Even if such people come to own more goods and higher positions in this world, they will feel ashamed later on in front of God. The shame that they would feel in front of God would be greater than anything else. In the year 51 CE, Gallio, the older brother of Seneca, the famed Roman politician, philosopher, and orator, as well as Emperor Nero's tutor, took his post as a governor of Achaia and came to Corinth, the administrative capital of Achaia. As soon as Gallio took his post at Corinth, Sosthenes quickly mobilized Jews who admired him and arrested Paul unexpectedly. Then he dragged Paul to the court. Sosthenes was the head of the synagogue. Paul spoke in Corinth. He was the person who incited the Jews to ostracize Paul and other Christians. The reason he mobilized other Jews and arrested Paul upon the new governor Gallio's appointment, like I said last week, was because most new governors are easily swayed by the public opinions since they are new to the region. Sosthenes and the Jews reported Paul to the authorities, claiming that Paul's evangelism was a socio-political issue related to the Roman law. It was to completely destroy Paul's career and also eradicate Christianity. But seeing that Paul's actions were unrelated to the Roman law, Governor Gallio dismissed the claim. Yet Sosthenes and the elders started a riot in the court with those who did not agree with the governor's decision. So Governor Gallio chased the Jews away, and at the same time, something remarkable happened. In verse 17, it says, "Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. And Gallio showed no concern whatever." When you look at the original Greek text, there is no article before the Greek word pa, which means all. If all in the text refers to the people in the text, then there needs to be an article according to the Greek grammar. Therefore, the word all includes the people of Corinth who observed the clamorous open trial as well. Those people of Corinth attacked Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, as a mob. The hostility that the people of Corinth felt against Jews who created a riot all over the capital city of Rome probably worked to lead them to such violent means. And they also probably felt that actions taken by Sosthenes as the leader of the Jews who reported Paul to the authorities were evil. The place the people of Corinth beat Sosthenes was not a back alley where people rarely passed by. They beat him in front of the courthouse, right where Governor Gallio was looking. But surprisingly, Governor Gallio showed no concern regarding the mob violence against Sosthenes. This means that he let Sosthenes take a horrible beating by the people of Corinth. Gallio was the governor of the Roman Empire who ruled the region of Achaia in lieu of the emperor. Maintaining the public order in the region he oversaw was one of his major duties. Yet, Governor Gallio let the people of Corinth beat the synagogue leader Sosthenes. The Bible is the word of God. Therefore, all information recorded in the Bible has absolute meaning and significance no matter what. Mob violence 2,000 years ago did not only occur in front of the courthouse in Corinth. There were probably lots of mob violence that occurred daily in the vast Roman Empire, which had conquered the world around the Mediterranean Sea. But the Bible does not mention any other mob violences. It is clearly recorded, though, that not just the governor Gallio, but even the Jews whom Sosthenes had gathered together in the Bible to have only observed what had happened. Like I said last week in my sermon, it was God's fierce judgment against Sosthenes, who continuously and cruelly tormented Paul, who was a great apostle of God. And here we can learn an important fact. Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and other Jews chased Paul away from the first Corinthian synagogue where it first talked about the gospel. Being chased away might have been a personal shame for Paul. Staying at Titius Justus's house next door to the synagogue and spreading the gospel while being taunted by the same Jews openly every day might also have been humiliating for him. And being seized by a group of Jews out of the blue one day and having been dragged to the court like a criminal might even have been a worse humiliation that Paul felt. But Paul didn't regard them as shameful. If he had considered such things as shameful, he probably would have given up on life earlier. During his first missionary journey, Paul visited Pisidia, Antioch, and there he had been kicked out of the synagogue by the leaders who had been jealous of Paul. And further, he was kicked out of the city after being slandered by the leaders and the people. Recall that in Lystra, Paul was beaten with rocks and people threw him out of the city, thinking that he was dead. Paul, when he had resumed his second missionary journey, was dragged like a dog to the court in Philippi, flogged, and was thrown into an underground dungeon. Yet despite all that, Paul did not give up and went to the Athens and Corinth. It was because such humiliation was not something that he had to avoid. Paul had once confessed, "If I preach the gospel, I have no reason to brag, since I am obligated to do it. I am in trouble if I don't preach the gospel." For Paul, shame lay in not living as a witness of Jesus who saved us from the abyss of death when he had two working hands and mouth. That's why he did not mind suffering the shame of being beheaded to become an eternal witness for Jesus, and as a result, he is forever alive as an apostle of the Lord. On the other hand, Sosthenes was the complete opposite of Paul. He regarded The physical shame, the external shame, is something that he had to avoid. He believed that openly causing Paul shame could completely destroy Paul. Yet, ironically, he was beaten by a mob in front of Governor Gallio and other Jews as they all watched. And he was destroyed by what he had considered to be the worst way to be humiliated. If he had not repented afterwards, then Sosthenes would have had to face an even more fearful humiliation after death, standing before God to be judged. What people consider shameful and what the Lord considers as shameful are fundamentally different. And only in front of Jesus Christ, who showed no concern about having to suffer on the cross to save us, can we distinguish between what is truly shameful. Only when we can distinguish correctly between what is shameful and what is not, we can be awarded with the glory of having completed our calling of the cross, despite all the humiliations we might have faced in the world. It is not a shame for a Christian business person to live in poverty, to realize the spirit of the gospel. But it is a shame if a Christian business person strives to make more money and forsake his faith and conscience. It's not a shame for a Christian politician to lose in an election after doing his best to suggest proper policies and carry on his political campaign in compliance with the law. However, it is a shame if a Christian politician stirs up the people with policy pledges that are impossible to carry out and makes the government bankrupt just to get a few more votes. On March 20th, at the Thursday lecture hosted by Yanghwajin Culture Center, Kim Young-ran, the former justice of the Supreme Court, showed us a very significant graph. This graph were answers to the survey, which answered to the question, "Do you believe our public service system is corrupted?" According to the graph, 42.4% of all people, 16.8% of foreigners, and 36% of the business people answered that our public servants are corrupt. However, only 1.7% of the public officials actually answered that the public service system was corrupt. The people widely encompass bribery as well as unfairness, lack of transparency, conflict of interest, favoring people who went to the same universities or from the same regions, brokerage, making requests, and entertaining higher officials is all corruption. However, the public officials did not believe so. It's not a shame for a Christian public official to feel his lack in his work in front of the Lord. But if the Christian public official doesn't show much concern about such survey, which revealed that about half of the people in Korea believe that the public service system is corrupt, then it is a shame. It is not a shame for a Christian intellectual to stay silent when he must stay silent. Yet, it is a shame for a Christian intellectual to stay silent when he must voice his opinion. It is not a shame for Christians to be slandered in their attempt to live according to God's words. The most shameful thing as Christians is to live as Sunday Christians without concerns for the words of God, even when they claim to be a child of God. The season of Lent is the time for repentance when we reflect on our Lord's suffering on the cross for us and pull ourselves together from not having lived our lives like saved Christians. As saved Christians, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, let us all repent our ignorance and foolishness of mistakenly thinking what is not shameful as shameful, and what is shameful as not shameful. If we regard what is not shameful as shameful and turn away from the Lord, then we will end up humiliated and ashamed like Sosthenes at some point in our lives. However, if we do not show concerns about what the people of this world consider it shameful, then the more humiliated we are, the more humiliation will actually become the badges of honor in the Lord. Because our Lord, who showed no concern about being stripped naked and dying on the cross, is the eternally resurrected Christ who overcame the authority of death. Let us pray. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we look toward the Lord on the cross, who became a sacrificial lamb of atonement. And we etch the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 in our hearts, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and sat down at the right side of God's throne. Lord, you did not care about being stripped naked and humiliated on the cross. So please help us not care about all the situations that we might find ourselves in for you, Lord. Help us to correctly distinguish between what is shameful and what is not, so that we can be used as good vessels for your will. Through us, who are not afraid of being humiliated for the truth, please help our families, our society, and the churches in this country to stand ever more upright. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.